please, for the reading of the Word of God tonight. Let's remain standing as we read our text for this evening. And we're going to pick up right where we left off this morning in 2 John. We're going to pick up with chapter number 3 and verse number 1 in the book of 2 John. And thank the Lord we finally finished 2 chapters. We've been there a while. And Lord willing, in the coming days, coming weeks, we're going to begin our study in Hosea as well as in the book of Jude. And that's going to be a tremendous workload. Now, I ask you to pray for Brother Hall as I do my best to preach it to you as God gives it to me and as I glean from other men. I do believe God's given us other men to glean from, and we're fools if we don't use what they've written. But 1 John and chapter number 3 in the Word of God. 1 John chapter number 3. And verse 1, the Bible said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Amen. I'm not going to read any further than that, because that's the only verse I'm going to be dealing with tonight. And let's bow our heads and hearts together and pray and ask the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the good song service we've enjoyed tonight. Thank you for our visitors. We thank you most of all for Jesus, for the life that you gave upon Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for yielding your life, shedding your precious blood, that sinners, that worms such as us might be saved, that we might be called the sons of God. I thank you tonight, Lord, for the privilege of preaching. I pray for your divine power and your unction, your grace. I pray for liberty. I pray you'll bless me that I might be a blessing to the people of God. I'd ask you tonight to work in the hearts of those that may be here or by the radio without God, without hope. They're lost. They've never been saved. They've never been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I pray for them. And I pray, Lord, for your people that you'd send revivals. Brother Brown and I talked today. It was such a blessing to hear the man of God, ailing as he is, still trust in God to send revival. Lord, as the psalmist cried, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And I pray that you'll help me, Lord, spiritually tonight, physically and mentally. I pray that you'll bless me and help me and do a great work of grace in our hearts. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want to read that verse one more time for us tonight, where our dear brother John begins chapter number 3. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I want to preach for a little while tonight, if God will help me, on the thought of behold the love of God. Or I could say, God's bestowing love. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that it's given us the privilege to be called the sons of God. And that's such a tremendous blessing. Now, if you notice in chapter 3, it begins with a call to attention. The word behold is a word that demands our immediate attention. John is not just writing that to fill up space. He's getting ready to say something that God's people that he's writing to, and those of us that it's been preserved for today, need to hear. When he says, "Behold, what manner of love." And that is a word that calls our attention. For here John begins with the word "behold," and is a word of adoring wonderment, an exclamation of astonishment at such display of grace. It should be utterly astonishing to you and I that God would bestow such amazing grace upon you and I. Amen. The Bible said that we're a worm and no man, and yet God loves us. I'm glad the Bible said that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I know that Paul said, of whom I am chief, but many times I feel like Paul may have that a little wrong. There's many, many times in my life when I feel as though I am the chiefest of sinners. But Christ did not come to call the righteous, but He come to call sinners to repentance. And it's an amazing thing that God would set His love upon you and I. The word behold is used in the Bible in many places in the Word of God. We may say the behold of demonstration. That is to denote the reality of an object. When the Lord stood before Pontius Pilate and sentence was pronounced that He should be crucified, He was led out in front of the Jews, and Pilate made this statement, "Behold the man." Behold the man. The reality of the object. Here is the man that claims to be the Son of God, whom ye say is an imposter. Behold the man. We could say, behold the man, the God-man that came into the world to take the sins of the world upon Him that we might be saved by the marvelous grace of God. And so, behold is a word of demonstration. It denotes the reality of the object. When Pilate said, behold the man, there's a reality there. Indeed, He was man, 100% man. But I'm glad He was also 100% God. He was God-man. And so Pilate says, behold the man. And of course they cried out, crucify Him. Crucify Him. Pilate said, what has He done? And they said, cried out even the more, crucify Him. And Pilate tried to wash the blood of the Son of God from his hands. But I personally believe that he's in hell tonight, still trying to wash the blood of the Lord Jesus off his hands. The Jews cried out, let His blood be upon us and upon our children. And church, we ought to take some strong, we ought to learn something from that statement. For His blood has been upon them. They have been persecuted as no other nation under God's blue heaven. The Jews have been persecuted in every country, put to death in every country. They're hated today by everyone. They're hated today by all those in the eastern part of the world and most of them in the western part of the world. And they're now being hated by most people in America. Behold the man. He was a man. May I say secondly, behold, the word behold is a word of admiration, which is designed to awaken our drowsy minds when something extraordinary is presented to our attention or challenging our most sensuous, serious thoughts. As if Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentations, when Jeremiah watched the walls of Jerusalem being knocked down and the gates burned with fire, and in the book of the Lamentations, he made this statement. He said in his lamentation, behold, and see if there be any sorrow as my sorrow. And I wondered when I wrote those words down tonight, if you and I could say the same thing as Jeremiah. I wonder if we have the same personal feeling for the spiritual condition of the church tonight that Jeremiah had for what was going on in Jerusalem. That was the city of God's eye. God had placed His people there, placed His covenant there, and yet He had allowed it to be overrun by the Babylonian Empire. And Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, stood and watched that beloved city being destroyed and demolished. And he cried, is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? I wonder tonight if we would say that, if we could sit down like Jeremiah and consider what's going on in the world around us and what's going on in the churches today, we might as well say amen. I'm telling you, churches today are almost twice dead and plucked up by the root. I don't know many places where God is doing a great deal, and it ought to break our hearts as it did the weeping prophet Jeremiah. And we ought to be like Jeremiah and say, behold,
as a people. Behold, in one place in Lamentations, he said, behold, is it anything to you, ye that pass by? He said, is there any sorrow like into my sorrow? I wonder if there's real sorrow tonight, not only for the church, but for the country. I've never seen our country in the mess that it's in tonight. I'm talking about spiritually, politically. I'm talking about every aspect of the church, of America tonight seems to be going down the drain. There's very little spirituality, and the political front offers absolutely no help whatsoever. You can either say amen or oh me. I wouldn't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, or a Whig, buddy. There's not much to offer us that's running for president in our country today. I don't know of a leader that America has today. Somebody said, preacher, things are bad. No, things are good. It's got to get that way before the Son of Perdition is going to be revealed. I'm telling you, we're living in the last of the last days, and the trumpet's getting ready to sound, and our hearts ought to be broken over the spiritual aspect that the church is in tonight. I talked to Brother Brown on the phone today, and he said, Brother Hall, he said, I'm a sick man, a dying man. He said, but I believe in all my heart that God is still going to take out a church in victory when He comes back. He's not coming back after a church like we see most churches tonight. He's coming back after a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. No, Brother Brown said, I still believe. He said, I believe it on my dying bed that God is going to send a revival to His people one more time. It ought to be our cry, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And apparently somebody had that heart and had that mind as Israel was carried off into Babylon. For, hey, in about 70 years, God began to send them back into the land to rebuild the walls, rebuild the temple, and establish the ceremonial law in Jerusalem again. God revived the walls out of the rubbish. And I'm telling you what God done then, God can do in our generation today. Oh, yes. Amen. That's right. And then we might say that it's a behold of gratulation. That is, it denotes the rejoicing and delighting ourselves in the privilege. Illustration I give is Psalm 121, verse 4. The Bible said, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And we ought to take some real comfort in those words. He that keepeth Israel. I might turn that around and say, he that keepeth Brother Hall will neither slumber nor sleep. I'm glad that we've got a God tonight, church, that knows nothing about a weary flesh, knows nothing about a troubled mind. He never slumbers and he never sleeps. As a matter of fact, his eyes run to and fro in the earth, beholding both the good and the evil. And I'm going to tell you, his eyes upon the sparrow and his eyes upon his people tonight. And when he said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, it ought to rejoice our heart. It ought to bring great jubilation to our heart to know that God would bestow such love upon worms like you and I that ought to be in hell with our neck broke. But God came to where we was. Hallelujah to God. As old sinners and by marvelous grace, God lifted us out of the quagmire of sin and degradation and birthed us into the family of God, made us children of Almighty God. Oh. Amen. There's not much jubilation today. Amen. Folks leave with carpet burns on their lower lips most of the time. Look like they've been sucking on an alum bag. Don't have anything to be happy about at all. Amen. Praise God, I've got something to be happy about. Amen. I wish I could sing. I'd sing that song if you knew where Jesus brought me from. Amen. And where I am today. If you'd have known me before I knew Jesus. Oh, I owe it all to Him. That's right, I owe it all to Him. And I marvel at the grace of God when I read that verse. Behold, get your attention. God wants your attention. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you that you might be called the sons of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That ought to make a dead Methodist get happy. Amen. Baptist too. And so that's a word of jubilation. Now note this. All three of these are included in the words, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." We behold it with faith and confidence.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. Our faith oughtn't to waver one bit.
Amen.
That is exactly right. It's though it might be astonishing, it might be mysterious to us, but I'm telling you, we ought to embrace our faith with great confidence in our God that He hath bestowed His love upon us. Now, I want somebody in here tonight to jump up real quick and tell me that God don't love you. Jump up real quick and tell me. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, I'm telling you, you can embrace that with faith and great confidence. There's no room for doubts. There's no room for disappointment. We don't have to worry about God. I'm going to tell you, God will hold up to His end of the covenant bargain. And God said, if He saved us by His grace, He has keep us by His power. And in that we can rejoice. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. Amen. That's right. Behold it with faith and with confidence. We can behold it with adoring gratitude. It is of vast importance and demands our most careful and prayerful attention. We ought to ponder it deeply, meditate upon it much, that the Father hath bestowed upon us. And I'll get to it in a minute. He said, what manner of love? What kind of love? Behold, what kind of love is this, John asked, that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be, or that we should have the privilege of being called the sons of God? Oh, hallelujah to His wonderful name. That is amen. We ought to behold it with adoring gratitude. Meditate upon it. You know what our problem is today? We're thinking and meditating upon everything except the Lord. Amen. I like what John Anselm said, and he died back in the year 1012. He said, I find no rest but in a nook with a book.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, if that would be our mindset today, that I find no rest but in a nook with a book, where we can meditate and think upon the blessings of Christ and the fact that God loves us just like we are. Somebody said, oh, God don't love me like I am. Hey, that's hog voice, as one preacher say. That's tommy rot. God made you what you are. God created you in the image of God. God made you what you are. And God loved you as you are. Amen. If He didn't, He'd have made you some other way. Amen. Somebody said, but you don't know what I've done. God does. And He still said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Amen. Paul used three words in the book of Timothy to define him as the chief of sinners. Now I'm telling you, there are three words that's found nowhere else in all the Bible. Said nothing about nobody else in the Bible but Paul. And yet God saved the chief of sinners, and not only saved him, called him to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and sent him out amongst the Gentiles with the word of God, proclaiming the gospel of the grace of God, that old sinners like you and I might be saved, come to church and gather together and rejoice in the fact that God hath bestowed such love upon you and I that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. Anybody in here ashamed of your father? I'm not a bit ashamed of my father.
Hallelujah.
And I'm not ashamed to let people know it either. Hallelujah. I'm going to adore him. I'm going to behold him. I'm going to worship him. Hey, the Father himself, get a hold of this. The Father himself has laid hold upon hell-deserving sinners and made them the brethren of his dear Son. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah to God. God laid hold upon you and I and made us the brothers. Thank God we've got an elder brother tonight. Thank God that will protect us and fight our battles for us. As sinful as we were, God has made us brethren to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told y'all that. We got this. We got some visitors. Now, if they ain't never heard, I'll tell them. I remember when I was a boy going to junior high school, there's these two bullies. One of them name was John Tone, and one was Freddie Tone. For some reason, them boys like picking on me. In fact, they like more than picking on me. They like whooping up on me. And I'm going to tell you, they're both bigger than I was, and I couldn't whoop both of them. And so I told my older brother about it, what they're doing. We got to Henderville one day, and my brother said, I'm going to set up front on the bus today. He just sat up front. When he stepped down out of that bus, he just stepped over to the side like this. And when the first one come rolling out of the bus, my big brother said, hey, John. And when he turned, that was a mistake. Well, I'm telling you, he found a right hook right upside the head, friend. Now, I don't recommend that for God's people, but I'm here to tell you that's exactly what our elder brother, does to the devil. Thanks be unto God. Amen. God has come to where we were and birthed us into His family. He has made Himself our Father and us His sons and us brothers to the very apple of His eye, His only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. What a God. Amen. What love. Behold, what love. Hallelujah. Praise God. Behold also, behold it with exultation and jubilation. What comfort and consolation should it afford us amid the trials and the tribulations of this life? How it should quicken our thankfulness and draw out our affections toward God. Oh, hey, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I'm satisfied if people could ever really get a hold of that, they could whistle through their trials. They could sing while they're going through the tribulations of life. After all, the Bible has said, Paul told, I believe, the Thessalonican believers, with much tribulation, ye must enter into the kingdom of God. Don't think you're going to get there any other way. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulation. But oh, with this kind of love in our heart, we can face them with joy and jubilation and whistle along the way. Amen. Praise God, I remember when I was in Bible college in Greenville, I never had hardly a dime. We eat hot dogs and pork and beans one night, and pork and beans and hot dogs the next night, and hot dogs and pork and beans the next night. I'm telling you, when I left down there, I thought it was a pork and bean and a hot dog. Amen. But I'd get down to Anderson Corporation in that big warehouse, and you could hear me from one end of it to the other. Singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Had one of them bosses come out there one day and said, how in the world can you come in here at 7 o'clock in the morning singing and leave here at 5 o'clock in the evening singing? I said, that's not hard to figure out. I'm saved. Amen. I've been to Calvary. God is my Father. Amen. Jesus is my elder brother. Oh, I've got something to shout about. That God would look down on a worm like me, I'm telling you. You talking about coming from the poor side of the tracks, friend. Some of you in here don't know what poor is all about. I'm telling you, I come poor. I was poor where I come from. Patches on bib overalls. Eat commodity cheese. Now cheese is about $4 or $5 a pound. When I was a boy, you had to go and get it as a commodity product. Amen. And I'd take it in my lunch, and all them other boys in there eating ham, and there I was eating commodity cheese. I was about ashamed to let. Sometimes I didn't even have 2 cents to get a carton of chocolate milk. Poor. Poor, they said, it's just Truman Hall's boy. He's just a drunkard. His daddy's a drunkard. He'll be a drunkard. He'll never amount to anything. And you know what? They were right. until September the 7th, 1970 in a little old Southern Baptist church. Hallelujah to God. When God came to where I was as a hell-bound sinner and ought to be in hell with my neck broke, but an omnipotent hand of power and mercy reached further down than I could reach up. And by grace, God lifted me out, birthed me into the family of God. Amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Anybody in here not doubt God's love? God said, well, I know. Somebody said, well, I know He loves His children, but what about lost people? God loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, are you a whosoever?
Amen.
That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody said, oh, I can't believe. No, you don't want to believe.
Amen.
Hey, if God's pricked your heart, you can believe, friend.
Yes.
Amen. I believe everything about His virgin birth and about His vicarious death and His resurrection and ascension. I believed all that before I ever got saved, but all I had, it was in my head.
Yes.
But when the Holy Ghost came to where I was, when there was a heavenly visitor, came to where I was. Amen. When God's agent of conviction and conversion came to where I was. Amen. I'm telling you, things begin to pick up around the Hall household. Somebody say amen right there. Thanks be unto God. Now, this word is also used all through the Scripture on particular and special occasions. It introduces the incarnation or the virgin birth of Christ. In Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Amen.
And then in the book of Matthew, he said, and being interpreted, that is God with us.
Amen.
Oh, what a great thought.
Yes.
What a blessing that it was God, the great creator of the heavens and the earth, that had no need for you and I at all. He could have just as well let us all die and go to hell. But He created us in the image of God. And having done that, God Almighty condescended and humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Woo! That old sinner, oh, unworthy sinners, hell-deserving sinners, wicked sinners, ungodly sinners, amen, sinners, can be saved by the grace of God and go to heaven. Be forgiven of all their sin. He forgiveth all their sin. He healeth all their diseases. What a great God we've got tonight. What manner of love, what kind of love can this possibly be? What manner of love? Behold. I believe John, as he wrote that verse of Scripture, looked back at chapter number 2 when it talks about the Antichrist and all this and all that. I believe John turned around and looked back over that and he said, behold, what manner of love the Father has. I'm about to run my head through a wall. Hallelujah. It introduces the incarnation or the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It also, Christ is introduced by John the Baptist in the same manner. In John 1:29, he said, behold,
amen,
the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen.
There you see His vicarious death. Behold, the Lamb of God. He's introduced as God's darling Lamb. That same Lamb that John the Beloved saw in chapter 5 of the book of the Revelation. When he heard that, when he turned and he saw a lamb as it had been crucified. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you that He introduced Him in His vicarious death as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. By the way, all those disciples had been following John. Now, if that had been most Baptist preachers today, you know what they'd have said? When he saw Jesus, they said, boys, now there He is, but you probably ought to hang out with me a little bit longer. After all, I am Dr. Do-Right. I'm so tired of these hot dog preachers. That's right. Come on in the house. And I'm not talking about doctors. I've got my little degree hanging in there on the wall. But when I say Dr. Bottleshopper, that's just a term. No offense, Doc. But I'm telling you that, hey, you know what John said? John said, he must increase.
Yes.
But I must decrease. Amen. And when he saw Jesus on the shores of Galilee that day, he said, boys, there he is. I've took you as far as I can go. There he is. There's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen.
Somebody asked me one time, said, why in heaven's name did John baptize all them people? Well, I can tell you what he said. He said in John chapter 1, he said, him that sent me, said, he that I baptizes and the Spirit of God lights upon him, said, that's him. Now, I believe if John stood out in the River Jordan, them men come down, throw one of them under and throw him up and say, that ain't him. That ain't him. That ain't him. That ain't him either. But oh, on that one day, when Jesus said it, behooveth us to fulfill all unrighteousness. And old John took him down, brought him up, and looked up, and the heavens opened. And he saw the Spirit of God like a dove lighting upon the Son of God. And a voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah! John said, hey, that's him! Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. Amen. And he is introduced by John the Baptist in the same manner. In the book of the Revelation, his return is declared in Revelation 22 verse 7, and also verse number 12 in the same words. Behold, I come quickly.
Amen.
And so his virgin birth is announced with that word, that attention word, behold. His vicarious death is announced with the same word. But I've got news for you. His victorious return. Woo! He said, behold! Behold! Hey! Get a hold of this! I come quickly! I'm telling you, he that cometh will not tarry, ladies and gentlemen. I've heard men say, if he tarries, he's coming. Don't worry! He's not going to tarry, he's coming. When the time rolls around, the trumpet's going to sound, and Jesus shall descend from heaven. I'll guarantee you on that. He's coming again. Amen. And he's not coming to be crucified. He won't need a manger, and he won't need a cross.
Amen.
He's coming back as the conquering King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. And he'll destroy the enemy by a sharp two-edged sword that proceedeth out of his mouth. That is the Word of God. Amen. His vesture is dipped in blood. And upon it is written, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And that's exactly what He is. He's got victory over death, hell, and the grave. And He did it all for you, and He did it all for me. If we could ever get a hold of that, we'd take the roof off of this little building tonight. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What a blessing that is to us. Amen. We're so backslidden, praise God. We couldn't shout if he walked in the front door. God help us. God help us. I wonder what we're going to wonder what some of you's going to do when you see him. We got this crowd out here tonight. This bunch of Armenians. They believe in falling from grace. They're shouting on credit. We got the real thing. Praise God, and can't even worship God. Can't even praise Him. We talk about being saved and preserved and can't even worship Him. Amen. We talk about being sealed to the day of redemption, don't have a word of jubilation at all. Don't even have a testimony the biggest part of the time. Our mouths are sealed, our lips are sealed, and our heart is closed. But I'm telling you, we need the Son of God to send a revival that'll overwhelm our hearts and let the praises of God flow from our lips. For He is worthy, ladies and gentlemen, because of the love that He's bestowed upon you and I, that we should be called the sons of God.
Amen.
Now, He said, "Behold, I come quickly." The word "behold," notice this now. I ain't even got the message yet. The word "behold" is intensified by the words that follow it. He said, "Behold, what manner?" What manner? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us,
amen,
that we should be called the sons of God. In other words, just what kind of love is this? It's both unique and great. Amen. It's
amen.
You know, there's no such thing as uniquer. It's either unique or it's unique. One commentator I read from used the word uniqueness. Now, I don't know, that may be correct. I'm not sure if that is correct English or not. But I know, hey, His love is unique. That means there's no other love like that love. It is one of a kind. No one ever loved you like Jesus loves you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Well, I was a bad sinner. So was the woman at the well." She said, "I have had 5 husbands." And Jesus said, "I know you have, and the man you shacked up with now is not your husband. But I tell you, He still loved her. And by the grace of God, He lifted her out of the depths of her sin and saved her by the grace of God. And she did not let her past haunt her like Baptists do today." Some of you in here are robbed of your joy, robbed of power, robbed of the blessing of God, because you let your past haunt you to death and can let the devil carry you back to realm where you have no business going. Mary Magdalene came in to Simon the Pharisee's house and stood at his feet and began to wash his feet with the tears from her eyes and dried them with the hair of her head.
Amen.
And old Simon in his heart says, "This man's not a prophet. If he was, he knew what manner of woman that is that loved him." And Jesus just looked over at him and said, "Simon," he said, "Master," he said, "I've got a word or two I want to say to you." He said, "Say on." He said, "When I come in here," he said, "you didn't anoint me with oil.
Amen.
You didn't anoint my head with oil, and you didn't wash my feet." He said, "Ever since I've come in, this woman has washed my feet with the tears of her eyes and dried it with the hairs of her head. And you get a hold of this, and she kissed His feet." Can you get a hold of the love of God that allowed a harlot?
Amen.
If you pardon my expression, let a prostitute, if you let me go a little deeper, he allowed it. I don't like this word either, but he allowed a whore to put her lips on him.
Amen.
What manner of love is that even a prostitute could put her lips on the Son of God,
amen,
and could not taint His holiness one bit? Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
And He loved that prostitute,
amen,
and saved that old prostitute.
Amen.
Every time you find Mary in the Bible, you find her at His feet. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Right where she started, that's where she finished, friend.
Amen.
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 That's right. She started there at His feet. In the garden, she ended it all up at Jesus' feet. Now, I'm going to tell you what, you really get the goods, you'll wind up like you start. Right on target. Amen. I believe we're capable of sinning. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't believe a man has to commit adultery. And I don't believe a man has to commit fornication. I don't believe a man has to get drunk. I'm in this body of clay, and as long as I'm in it, it's as sinful as it can possibly be. And I'm going to tell you something. I do not have to go out and get drunk. I do not have to cuss. I don't have to go to the racetracks. I don't have to go to the movie houses. Amen!
Amen!
That's right. Thank God. God loved that old prostitute. Amen. And bestowed His love upon her, that she could be called the Son of God. And I say that in the masculine gender because that's the way my verse reads. Amen. Everybody still listening? Amen. According to the usage of that word in the New Testament, it is an expression, or it is a contrastive word. In other words, it contrasts two different things. When Gabriel addressed Mary, he said, thou, I'm talking about the word manner now. He said, thou that are highly favored, blessed art thou among women. And she cast in her mind, what manner? What kind of a salutation is this? It was so overwhelming. By such an unprecedented experience that she was overwhelmed that God would send an angel,
Amen.
Dispatch an angel from heaven to her, highly favored among women. Oh, what a God. And when he said, hey, when she heard what Gabriel had to say, she pondered it in her mind and said, hey, what manner of salutation is this? What kind of a salutation is this? What kind of love is this? Behold, what kind of love is it that God hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God?
Amen.
Amen. I'm trying to hurry now. When the Savior calmed the raging tempest with the word of command, Matthew 8:27, the men that was in that boat said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? What kind of a man is this? My goodness, what manner of a man is this? That all he's got to do is speak, and he calms the raging waves of the sea. The waves lay at his feet, and the wind ceased to blow. And here we are, blundering through life, in storms and trials, worried, half sick. We've done rub, bless God, calluses, blisters, and they've turned into calluses on our hands from worrying sick about everything and under the sun. Now I'm here to tell you, He that loved us and died for us is able to, if He's able to calm the winds and the raging waves of the sea and make a calm, He is able to calm the troubled waters of your soul and my soul, amen, and help us to walk in peace and tranquility of life without worry. Amen. God's still on the throne. Amen. Ought to get the choir up here right now and saying, God's still on the throne. He's still on the throne.
Amen.
We act like the devil, the old boogeyman, done slipped up to heaven, throw God off the throne, and the devil sat down. I've got news for you. The devil went into the devil's office, took the keys of hell and death away from him, and left with him. And shame on the devil, he ain't even got the keys to his own office. Amen. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Praise God. What a God.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. You believe God loves you? I ain't got to the message yet. Got to hurry and get there. Now, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Consider and adore the nature and extent of that love. Consider the marvel and the magnitude of that love. The unique and superlative excellence of that love. Oh, what love. Nobody ever loved me like Jesus.
Amen.
I sat bewildered, wondering where the church is at spiritually. Wondering why we can't get a hold of God's love. Are we truly saved? I'm asking you tonight, are you saved?
Amen.
Are you aware of God's love for you and your life? For you and your family? God's taken some of you from couples from all walks of life and brought you together and gave you a family. And brought that family to the house of God.
Yeah.
Hey, that tells me God's love has been bestowed upon you.
Yeah.
That He brought you to the house of God. Where you can hear the gospel of your soul.
Yeah.
And be saved by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Somebody said, why did you marry your wife? Because God wanted me to. And I didn't even know it. Somebody said, did you love her? No, I lusted over her. But lust soon grew into love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't look down your pious noses at me. Bless God, every one of you the same way. Might as well say amen.
Amen.
I like babies.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. A privilege, hey. The privilege of which the love specifies that we should be called the sons of God. Children of disobedience. Who were by nature children of wrath.
Amen.
But God.
Yep.
But God.
Amen.
With His great love. Wherewith He loved us.
Yes,
what made God love you? I've heard preachers say, I don't believe in unconditional election. Well, let me ask you something, Buckwheat. Tell me one good thing in your life that merited God coming to where you was and saving you.
Amen.
There's nobody good enough. There's nobody holy enough, and I'm not talking about Calvinism. But there is not one thing about you or one thing about me that merits the love of God. He saw nothing in me. In fact, He found us in a dunghill. Like a worm in a dunghill, He found us. Now you tell me one thing in your life that you did before God saved you that merited God's love, that unless He saved you, He would be unjust. I say there's none and nothing.
Amen.
He told Israel, said, I loved you just because I loved you.
Amen.
No reason, I just love you. Or to make a dead Baptist get happy. To know there is nothing about none of us that merits the love of God.
Amen.
But oh, God set His affection upon us.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
And by grace He lifted me.
Amen.
With tender hands He lifted you and I.
Amen.
In mercy from a horrible pit.
Amen.
Out of the miry clay.
Amen.
The sorrows of death covered us round about. And the gates of hell tried to prevail against us. But God in love and mercy, when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together and lifted us out and made us sons of God. What manner of love is this? What kind of love is this? That God would love us. Now, I illustrate that way that we should be called the sons of God. David said, and I won't preach this, I'll just mention it, 1 Samuel 18:23. He said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law? If David thought it was something glorious to be the son-in-law of a king, how much more should you and I think it's glorious to be the son of a king? Not an in-law, but a son. What are you going to do about the prodigal son when he came back to his father and said, I am not worthy to be called your thy son?
Amen.
And yet people today act like if God didn't save them, it'd be unjust. Not for a moment. God could let you slip off into hell if He wanted to. And if you're lost, God could let you slip off into hell tonight before you ever get home. And if He'd be justified in doing that. He said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." If I wasn't saved, I wouldn't go out the door tonight without trusting God and then nailing it down, knowing that I've definitely been to Calvary and been born again and experienced the love of God. Oh, what manner of love. Now, I've got 4 or 5 little points and I'm done. Behold what God's bestowing love. Behold, number one, God's foreordaining love. Now, I'm just going to quote you the Bible, so don't get stirred up now. Ephesians 1:4 said, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." Now, get this, not that we should be saved. I'm not talking about predestination to salvation, predestination to hell. "He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." God foreordained. Now, I just read the Bible. God foreordained that.
Amen.
That us as His children should be holy. Should be holy.
Amen.
And without blame before Him in love. Now somebody said, "Preacher, what's that? What does that mean to you?" Sounds to me like a good verse for assurance. That before the foundation of the world, God said, "Those that I say, they're going to be holy."
Amen.
"And they're going to be without blame before me in love." Oh my.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Anybody want to go with me? Praise God, get on the train. I'm going to glory.
Amen.
I'm heaven down with a hammer down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. That's right. Of course, when I got saved, I didn't realize it, but I do now. That God had foreordained that I would be a holy vessel unto Him. And like Harold Sattler said, we'll make it. And we'll make it because the Holy Ghost will see that we arrive at our destination. We're going to make it. You're saved, you're going, friend.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I wouldn't have known Lot was going except the Bible said he's a righteous man.
Amen.
The Bible says he's a preacher of righteousness.
Right.
If he'd been in our day, we'd all condemned him to hell.
Right.
And he was a preacher of righteousness. He certainly was. Somebody said, did he get to heaven holy? Didn't say we'd get there real holy. I remember Duncan Campbell in his little book, when he was laying out on that battlefield, he said, "Lord, make me as holy as a man can be holy on this side of the crossing." And it was from there that he went on and up and went out for God and done a great work for God. And I'm going to tell you something. Oh, you're a sanctified holy vessel.
Amen.
Ain't no doubt about that. But I'm here to tell you, you may not realize all that holiness, but you stand at the judgment seat of Christ and it purges you just a little bit. I'm afraid there's going to be a little wood, hay, and stubble along the way.
Amen.
Come on in the house.
Amen.
I got to hurry up. My time's gone. It's 8 o'clock. Behold God's foreordaining love. Behold God's redeeming love. We sang that song tonight, and I like to have a jumping fit. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. You can tell that by the way I'm preaching tonight. I ain't got much use for preachers that don't enjoy proclaiming the redemptive work of Christ. I'd rather hear that story than any other story in the whole Bible.
Amen.
Amen. It does something for my soul. Amen. Behold God's redeeming love. What manner of love? It's a foreordained love. What manner of love? It's a redeeming love. He said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins.
Amen.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it.
Yeah.
Christ, the Son of God, has been a
Propitiation for our sins. Can you get a hold of that? I don't know if I'm going to quit right now or not. That God so loved us, what manner of love, that He sent the apple of His eye into a hostile environment and laid the sins of the world upon Him, that you and I might go free from the burden of guilt. Your sins are laid there. Why don't you take advantage of it and live for Him? Amen. Hallelujah. What redeeming. Redeeming love. That's what manner of love it was. God bought you and I out of the slave market of sin.
Amen.
There we stood in the slave market of sin in shackles.
Amen.
Bound hand and foot. A slave to sin.
Amen.
Somebody said, who wants Him? Not a hand raised. Is there no one here that will buy this slave? Is he not worth anything? Is he of no value? That's what redeemed means, purchased from the slave market of sin. Is there no value in him? Nobody wants him. And just before the man said, just send him back, Jesus stepped out and said, I'll purchase him, sir. And what price do you have to pay? I'll purchase him with my own blood. I'll shed my blood for him. And he did.
Amen.
Amen. He bought the church with his own blood.
Amen.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Redeemed in how I love to proclaim it. I said Herbert Williamson got on an airplane coming back, him and Ricky Whitlow from Dr. Hiles, years ago, said God got in that Boeing jet and said, Brother Herbert got up in his seat and was singing, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. The waitress, the stewardess was telling him, sir, you got to sit down and fasten your seatbelt. He said, ma'am, this is no time to fasten your seatbelt. It's time to unbuckle them. We're getting ready to get out of here. Amen.
Amen.
We're bought. He owns us. He's not about to leave us behind. Oh no, He's coming again for His bride that He has bought with His own blood out of the slave market of sin. It's a redeeming love. I want to say thirdly, behold, God's drawing love. Jeremiah 33:1, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee, sweetly wooing us unto Himself. Lovingly calling us.
Amen.
Jesus so tenderly calls us today.
Amen.
What? Knoweth thee not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?
Amen.
It's not the judgment of God.
That's right. Amen.
I've heard people say, I'm glad God saved me from hell. Well, I am too. That's not why He saved me. That's one of the benefits. He saved me because I had offended His holiness.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. And He loved me so much that He drew me with cords of kindness and love.
Amen.
He wooed me.
Amen.
And called me. And His voice wasn't harsh and judgmental. It was sweet and tender and loving and kind.
Amen.
Have you heard that voice? John on the Isle of Patmos was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And he heard a voice behind him, and he had to turn to see the voice. And he saw one like the Son of Man, with hair as white as wool and eyes like fire and feet like brass.
Amen.
Oh, I'm telling you, what a great God we have. And I'm going to tell you, when he heard that voice, I believe there was something in John's heart said, I've heard that voice speak before. And I think maybe that Moses may have stuck his head and peeped out over the glory. He said, John, hey, I heard it thunder on Mount Sinai. And maybe Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, I heard it speak tenderly on Mount Calvary. John said, I hear it plainly on the Isle of Patmos. I know that voice, that tender voice, that loving voice, that kind voice, that voice that's full of love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It's a drawing love. It's a redeeming love. It's a foreordained love. God loves us with. I want to say fourthly, behold, it's a communicating love. Romans 5:5. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Amen.
I'm so tired of these charismatics. They want to tell me they can be saved and not be possessors of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
If they're not possessors of the Holy Spirit, they have no love in them.
Amen.
They have no holy, godly love in them. For the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost,
amen,
which was given unto us.
Amen.
I'm getting tired, and I think you are too. Behold, God's comforting love. God's comforting love. It says, now our Lord Jesus Christ and God, even the Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope. How do we get all that? Through grace. His comforting love.
Amen.
Anybody in here feel broken tonight? Anybody in here feel betrayed? Anybody in here feel like they've been deserted tonight and nobody cares for you? Anybody in here tonight feel like you're lost? Oh, I say tarry no longer. Flee to Christ and lay hold upon eternal and everlasting life. Yes. Bless His wonderful name. And I'll tell you, He'll give you an everlasting consolation and love through grace.
Amen.
Grace started it all, and I'm closing right here. Behold, God's preserving love. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean God's preserving love? Well, I'm fixing to read it for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I've told the church, I've told you this. I often wondered, how can you be more than a conqueror? I'm going to tell you how. After you conquer, you possess.
Amen.
That's how you're more than a conqueror. When you conquer the land, you possess the land. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want everybody to listen real quickly, and I'm closing. For a long time, I thought that meant all these things could not hinder Christ's love for us. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul is saying none of these things will separate us from the love of Christ. Hey, He loves us just as we are. But He said there's none of these things going to stop cause us to stop loving Him.
Amen.
Now you read it. You read it. You don't ever have to worry about Christ not loving you. But John said, I'm persuaded that none of these things, I can put it this way, he said, I'm persuaded that none of these things can separate me. None of these things can keep me. Ain't he the one that said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain?
Amen.
Is he not the one that said, the love of Christ constraineth us?
Right.
What can separate, what can stop you from loving Him? If you've experienced that manner of love, if you've experienced it, You don't ever have to worry, friend. You're not going to stop loving Him. Times may grow hard, Sister Gossett. Things might get rough. But you still love Jesus.
Amen.
Boy, I've never forgotten Mama Odie.
Amen.
Almost 100 years old and walking in that little old nursing home. Brenda would look down at her and say, "Mama, you remember me?" And she'd look up and kind of squint. Without fail every time, she'd say, "I used to know you." And I'd say, "Mama, do you know me?" Same look. "I used to know you." And one day, I tell you, it dawned on me. I said, "Mama, do you remember Jesus?" She said, "Oh, Lord, honey." She's an old Kentucky mountain woman. She said, "Oh, Lord, honey, how could I ever forget Him?" And that wonderful day He came where I was as an old sinner. Woo! And by grace, set His love upon me. And I've experienced it. That wonderful love of God. Behold. Behold. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us.
Amen.
That we should be called sons of God. Let's stand together.